Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Goddess, The Secret Lives of Marilyn Monroe by Anthony Summers, narrated by Donna Postel. You're right about her not being easy to know. One sees her with intensity, sees her more than one sees almost anyone. But then one discovers that that isn't knowing her. Henry James, The Wings of the Dove. She did originate something. She was the first person I know of who was truly unconventional. She was a 60s person before it started. Way before it started. Like 10 years. Arthur Miller. I can't tell the whole story. Talk to Robert Kennedy. Dr. Ralph Greenson, Monroe's psychiatrist. Part 1. Into the Land of the Scorpions. The industry giveth, and the industry taketh away. Hollywood, the dream factory, had created a dream girl. Could she awaken to reality? And what was the reality? Was there a life for her outside the dream? Norman Rosten, poet and Marilyn's longtime friend. In Hollywood, starlet is the name for any woman under 30 not employed in a brothel. Ben Hecht, with whom Marilyn did her first major interviews. 1. The hour before midnight, Saturday, August 4th, 1962, in Los Angeles. In the auditorium of the Hollywood Bowl, under a sickle moon, the crowd was listening to the bittersweet strains of the Henry Mancini Orchestra. Abruptly, unnoticed by most of the concertgoers, there was a minor disturbance. An attendant, whispering apologetically, passed an urgent message to a man seated in one of the higher-priced seats. The man rose, walked to a telephone, and listened. Then he spoke a few terse sentences, summoned his wife, and hurried to his car. In the night hours that followed, as Los Angeles slept, there would be other little incidents, more comings and goings. Telephones would jangle at bedsides around the city, rousing doctors, a prominent lawyer, leading figures in show business, and private detectives. A famous actor, brother-in-law of the President of the United States, would place a call to Washington. Some of the actor's neighbors, in their fine houses on the beach, would be roused from sleep by the clatter of a helicopter. An ambulance would be summoned to an unpretentious house in the suburbs on a mission the driver says he cannot recall. The public would learn nothing of these nocturnal events, nor, so far as we know, were they recorded by any official body. Yet the event that triggered them was the news story of the year, one that received more coverage than even the missile crisis, the near-nuclear war that followed a few weeks later. Marilyn Monroe was dead. Exactly 20 years later, in 1982, the Los Angeles District Attorney reopened inquiries into a case that had never ceased to be the subject of rumor and controversy. His brief was limited. Was there sufficient evidence to open a criminal investigation? Could Monroe have been murdered? After 4 months, the DA was advised that the evidence fails to support any theory of criminal conduct. This, though, had been only a threshold investigation. It was indeed. The investigators did not even interview the detective who attended the scene of the death. The 1982 report acknowledged that factual discrepancies and unanswered questions had surfaced during the Monroe inquiry. Privately, officials today make it clear that they felt they had stumbled into a morass of untruth and obfuscation. Marilyn Monroe may, they surmise, have died by her own hand. Yet they feel something was indeed covered up in 1962. That something involved Monroe's relations with President John Kennedy and his brother Robert. And in particular, Robert Kennedy's activities at the time Monroe died. The DA's men shrug ruefully when they discuss the Kennedy angle.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?